in the book of Joshua. I've got maps here, so maybe, Nate, I can get you passing that maps around. Once again, and and of course, we've got the contoured map up here as well. Everyone want to take a look at that? See the contour of the land? So we mentioned that several times here. So we're in Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21. Now, as we're going through this, we saw last time chapter 20. So a little bit of review here. Chapter 20, Joshua chapter 20. This has to do with the six cities of refuge. So we went over that. So chapter 20 deals with the six cities. 21 deals with the 48 cities. So the Lord gave the Levites, 21 to 48 cities and 21. Lord gave the Levites 48 cities, but no land outside of the cities. Just like he gave Simeon cities, but no land. So he did that for various reasons. In the case of Simeon, remember him and Levi had sinned and slaughtered all the Shechemites. And so the Lord judged them. But then the Levites stood up for Moses at a time when the Lord needed somebody stand up. So the Lord blessed the Levites. So we see how the Lord worked with these sons of Jacob and influenced their offspring after that, affected their offspring one way or the other. So in the case of Simeon, his tribe was impacted by not having territory other than cities. Whereas in the case of Levites, although they sinned along with Simeon, they reconciled with the Lord by standing up for the Lord at a certain time. And so the Lord blessed them. Although he only gave them cities, they became the tribe that came before the Lord as the priests and so on. So we see how the Lord works through all these things. So the Bible teaches here, consistently and constantly throughout, when man sins, there's always a place for forgiveness. However, the consequences of the sin continue on. So we can, it's not that we promote sin, but when we sin, we can find forgiveness. But then the Lord deals with the consequences of that sin, and so we can be forgiven. But the consequences, quite often, even as believers, continue on. And so we need to learn this message. I've stated, others stated something along the same lines. The way I'm saying it, I'm not promoting it, but you can choose your sin, but you can't choose the consequences. So you can say, I want to do this, or I'm going to do that, or this or that. All right, well, but you can't choose the consequences. The Lord will bring the consequences on you. And so, if you don't want the consequences, then don't choose your sin. Don't choose sin. All right. But anyway, we see this in chapter 20. Also in chapter 20, as we went back to Exodus 21, for instance, we find out some of the background on the cities of refuge, what they're for. And these were places where individuals could go to, three on the west side, three on the east side of the Jordan. People could go to these places and for protection until their case was determined, whether they were guilty of premeditated murder or not. And so we see God's provision here. In all this, the Lord would treat the individual as innocent until proven guilty. Also, the trial would be from the elders of the cities of refuge, and so the people, the elders and so on, they would determine this, and they would determine this before the Lord, and so they wanted to do something that's just and right. And then even those that were involved in accidental death would have to stay in the city of refuge until the high priest died. So here we see that there would be consequences even for accidental death. And so in a society like this, people be very, very careful about any capital offense. Now remember, capital offenses were not only premeditated murder, but also a kidnapping. And so people in a society like this where these things would be played out, there would be teeth in the law and so on, and teeth in the consequences, then people would be very, very careful about murdering somebody or accidentally killing somebody or even kidnapping and or blaspheming their parents. Remember, that was another sin that brought about capital punishment. So the Lord's plan was these laws in place would help maintain a strong morality. Now, a morality really has to come from the heart. It has to be something spiritual. But when there are laws over a group of people, these can keep things in check. Now, even when the Lord reigns during the millennium for 1,000 years, he's going to reign with with a rod of iron. So he's going to maintain, as a just king, righteous justice throughout the land. And he won't make any mistakes in dealing with people. But he's still going to have to rule with a rod of iron. And so it's going to be an enforced righteousness where he's going to want people to want to carry out the enforced righteousness because their heart's behind this, and whether there's any laws or not, they will carry them out. But since he's dealing with people in their old nature, that would be all the saved people make through the tribulation, both Jew and Gentile, they're going to be, they'll have the privilege, I think, of living for 1,000 years, but they also will need to live under the Lord's reign with a rod of iron. So we see there is a place for government, and government is to carry out the laws of the land and to maintain some sort of a righteousness, even if it's external. An external righteousness is better than no righteousness at all. That'd be chaos, utter chaos. And so countries that are built upon a Judeo-Christian foundation, like America has been, then there's laws for these things. Now, all these things are going by the wayside, as we realize that, and they may go further by the wayside after Tuesday, or you know, down the road, or whatever. But in the meantime, the Lord has given government. So we find that in Genesis chapter 9. That's the beginning of government. Romans chapter 13, Paul goes over Roman government in great detail in Romans chapter 13. So we'll get to that after we deal with Romans chapter 12 in the morning services. But anyway, that's Joshua chapter 20, Joshua chapter 20. Now we move into chapter 21, Joshua chapter 21. And as we do, we recognize more about the 48 cities and how they're distributed to the people. So here we find in the first three verses, for instance, Scripture says then, Joshua chapter 21, then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites to unto Eliezer the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. So once again we find that Joshua, who is the warrior leader, and Eliezer, who is the priest or the high priest, these are those that are in control of being led by the Lord to give the allotment of the land. And in this case now, the Levites. Levi was one of the 12 sons. So the Levites get something in the distribution. What do they get? Well, they don't get land, but they get cities. Obviously, cities are in land or on land, but they get cities, but they don't get the land that's surrounding. All right. So the Levites, they want their portion, and so the Lord's going to deal with them. Now, 12 sons for Jacob. Each of these sons, as they lived out their lives, they had responsibility for the Lord. And the Lord dealt with each of them individually. And we can see the individual outworkings of the sons with the tribes. Some sons were more committed to the Lord than others, like Judah, for instance. Truly, Judah was. So the Lord blessed Judah especially, not only him as a man, but his descendants, you see. And so the Lord is always righteous and holy in his dealing with us. Now, in all of this, not every tribe could have the city of Jerusalem in it, obviously. Only the tribe of Judah had the city of Jerusalem. Likewise, the Lord gives blessings to individuals, but they're particular to the individual. Take, for instance, the Apostle Paul. He had the great privilege of being the apostle to the Gentiles and taking the gospel to Gentiles in the first century. Now, no one else in the whole world, including us, could ever be the apostle to the Gentiles. There's only one apostle to the Gentiles. So we don't have to give an account for Paul's life, and he doesn't have to give an account for our life, you see. So we don't have to give an account for being an apostle to the Gentiles in the sense that Paul was. You follow that? Now, we can learn many lessons from his life and so on, and we should, but we have to get an account for our life. And so the Lord is very specific. He's very personal. He gives a will for each one of our lives, and we're accountable for that life, that accountability, that stewardship. And if we fulfill our stewardship in the spirit of being led by the Lord, filled with Spirit and so on, we can have full reward. Now, we're not going to have the reward that Paul would have, but he'll have a full reward for his faithfulness, if he was faithful in everything. He'll have a full reward for everything he did, but we can have a full reward for everything that we do as a Christian. You follow that? But they're different, so we're not going to be measured by Paul's standard or David's standard or Joshua's standard. We're going to be measured by the standard the Lord gives our own life. So we see much of this in this passage here. The downside of this is, when we disobey the Lord, then there are consequences in our life, but it influences others as well. And so, maybe we need to ask ourselves this question. When we're tempted with sin, and maybe we should ask, well, you know, I'm tempted, should I do this? Should I do this? Should I go here, do this, or whatever? What are the consequences for me? Yeah. What are the consequences for others? How am I going to impact others? When we get to the place where we're toying with sinning, we're pretty much egocentric, and so we're not too much concerned about others. But we need to ask that and consider that in our living. How am I going to, and what I'm doing here, how's that going to impact my life? And how's that going to impact others? So, we see these messages, I think, here in the book of Joshua. Now, we get back here. So the Levites. The Levites wanted what the Lord had promised them. He wanted what the Lord had promised them. And so come to the leaders here. Verse 2, and they spake unto them as Shiloh. All right, Shiloh was one of the central places for worship at this time. And one of the first places that the Jews went once they crossed the Jordan and so on. So Shiloh. Now notice Shiloh and the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan. It's called the land of Canaan because the Canaanites at one time were over the land. But now the land of Canaan becomes the land of Israel. Becomes the land of Israel. And so the Lord brings this out in the land of Canaan. But now it's the land of Israel. Now the let's see. Let's turn here. I want to bring this out. I brought it out several times, but the land of Canaan or the land of Israel. This is the promised land, but is never called Palestine. Yes. Never called Palestine in the Bible. And the saved Jews over in Israel. They don't call this the land of Palestine now. Gentiles do. most of your Bible dictionaries, encyclopedias, and people talk about Palestine. 2 weeks ago, when we traveled across the ocean, we didn't go to the land of Palestine. We went to the land of Israel. That's a sensitive subject for them, and should be for us. Let's look here in the book of Joel. The book of Joel. So here, see, we need to have a Christian vocabulary. So let's see, Hosea, Joel, Amos. All right, so Joel. Joel chapter 3, verse 4. Joel 3, 4. So Joel 3, 4. Here we see in the King James Bible the only place where the word Palestine ever shows up. Only place where the English word Palestine ever shows up. So it's in Joel 3, 4. Yea, what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coast of Palestine? The coast of Palestine. Tyre and Sidon, they're on the coast, the Mediterranean coast, the coast of the Promised Land, along there with the coast of Palestine. Will you render me recompense? So on. So the coast of Palestine, this is what we might call modern-day Gaza. Gaza or Gaza, and the coast of Palestine. So the land of Israel is not Palestine. Not Palestine. I read this all the time in the newspaper and so on. But when we were over in Israel, there were areas like Jericho was in Palestine. It's under Palestine leadership. But Palestine leadership has nothing to do with Israel. This has to do with the Arabic people and so on. But so we had to go through border control to get into Jericho because we were going into a Palestine state, all right, or territory there. But this is only because it's called that because after the 1967 Six-Day War, Israel gained all these areas, and then they gave them right back. They gave them right back. And so Gaza, they gained Jericho, they gained the Golan Heights, they gained the Temple Mount, and then they gave them back to the Muslims. You know, it's all politics. Bible and biblical and Jewish heritage doesn't seem to come in here at all. I mean, thing of politics seems to run everything. But politics has to do with spirituality, by the way. All right. But anyway, let's notice, secondly, in Psalm 83. So here's here's Asaph's cry here, Psalm 83. And Asaph says this. He wrote the Psalm, Psalm 83. He says in verse 4, they have said, who's the they? Well, the they's the bad guys. It's the enemies. You look there in verse 2. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Now, Israel means Prince of God. Israel means Prince of God. That's Jacob gained a new name there. It means Prince of God. And so... here, Asaph was afraid that the enemies would come off, try to cut off the nation of Israel and the name of Israel. This is Psalm 83, 4. And that's exactly what has happened when people call Israel, the land of Israel, Palestine. The land of Palestine. They've cut off the nation and they've cut off the name because there is no nation of Palestine. You know that? There's no nation of Palestine. You follow this? So this is... So we want to try to get a biblical perspective on this. And, of course, from the Bible, we can know all things. So we know all things. You read the morning newspaper or whatever news outlet you look at and so on. And Palestine... I have books galore in my office that are talking about the land of Palestine. These Christian authors talking about Palestine and a map of Palestine. Map of Palestine be way over there in Gaza or along the coast. No, it's the whole map here of of Israel. Let's see. I'm not sure what The I don't think this says a map of Palestine. I hope not. No, Israel in biblical times. Wow, okay, amen. So, anyway. It's back here to the land of Canaan, which now became the land of Israel. The land of Israel. So, anyway, we're in the middle of verse 2. So this is Joshua chapter 21, verse 2. And they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. Now this is back in Numbers chapter 35, so let's glance back there one more time. Numbers chapter 35. And here verse 2. Says, Numbers 35, 2, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of the possession, their possession, cities to dwell in. And you shall give also unto Levites suburbs for their cities round about them. And so cities and suburbs, suburbs for the cattle. But in verse 6, he says, 35, 6, and among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities a refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that ye may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. So a total of 48 cities. Six of the 48 would be cities of refuge. And of course, this passage goes on and talks about how somebody who accidentally kills somebody or purposely murders can run to a city of refuge until their case is dealt with. Biblically, and so we see the rest of the context. So I've gone over that several times. All right, but anyway, Moses promised this. Now the Levites are coming to Joshua and saying, Moses promised this to you, Joshua. Now you fulfill this. And so Joshua is to obey all that the Lord commanded. Remember that back in chapter 1. So don't forget chapter 1 comes before this. So there in chapter 1, 1:7, for instance, the Lord said to Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest observe or prosper rather whithersoever thou goest. So he had to take the Moses' law there and not deviate one way or the other. So he couldn't deviate. The Levites say, well, you're only getting 47 cities, sorry. You're not getting any cities. No, he had to be obedient here in 48 cities or whatever the context was. And so we see Joshua obeyed the scriptures. He took it at face value and he obeyed the scriptures. He obeyed the scriptures. And let's see. Seems like Wednesday night we talk about something like this and what brings about prosperity. Let's see. Where was that? Second Chronicles. Let's see. It's coming to me now. Second Chronicles 25, I believe it is. 26, rather. Here we go. All right. Second Chronicles 26 and verse 5. Yeah, 26, 5. Where in 2 Chronicles 26, 5, talks about Uzziah, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Think of that. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So here's a verse that just wants to jump out into your life. Wants to jump out, right? Anybody interested in divine prosperity? Well, as long as he sought the Lord, and of course in his life, he did seek the Lord for a long time, but then he deviated from the Lord, and the Lord judged him with leprosy. Remember that? So here's a black and white case. As long as he sought the Lord blessed him. As soon as he stopped seeking the Lord, and he wanted to go his own will in a puffed up, proud way, what happened? The Lord smote him with leprosy. So how do you demonstrate your seeking the Lord? How do you demonstrate seeking the Lord? Well, obviously, being a Christian, you ought to be. Being in the Word of God, being in prayer, being obedient to the Lord, following the Lord. And one of the public ways of manifesting this is being active in the local body of Christ. Showing up and being active. So, and this is the way of prosperity. Prosperity. So anyway, Joshua. The Lord prospered Joshua as he obeyed the scripture in this case. All right, now next, we're back here in Joshua chapter 21, verse 3. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs. So notice now, 48 cities scattered throughout all 12 tribes. Three on one side, the city of refuge, three cities of refuge on the other side, but 48 cities out of all the tribes, up and down. And so the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance. So here in Judah was Hebron, for instance, one of the cities of refuge. So those in Judah would have to give up that area. Hebron, that's ours, it's in our area. No, you've got to give it over to the Levites. Okay, we'll do that. We'll obey the Lord. So here they had to give up some of their inheritance. But on the other hand, what did they gain? They gained the presence of the Levites in that city and in Hebron, for instance, city of refuge. But there are other cities that weren't cities of refuge. But they gained the presence of the Levites, who were the spiritual leaders that would offer the sacrifice and be involved in public worship and so on. So in losing the territory, they gained spirituality. You see, in losing something physical, they gained something spiritual. So that's a good loss and gain, isn't it? Yeah. Giving up something physical and gaining something spiritual. And so they were willing to do that. But they did this through the leadership of Joshua and Eliezer. And so they were willing to do this. So the Jews got the cities here. The Levites got their cities. Now, in the rest of the chapter, we see this is organized around so many cities to the sons here of Levi. And so let's look here in several places. First of all, in Genesis. And let's see, in Book of Genesis, and we find here in chapter 46, here we have Genesis chapter 46, verse 11, and the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, Merari. All right, so the sons of Levi, Genesis 46, verse 11. Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. So here we have these three sons. And then, of course, they had offspring. So now let's look here in Exodus chapter 6. And we see in Exodus chapter 6. So Exodus chapter 6 gives more detail here. 6:16, Exodus 6:16. And in this verse it says, and these are the names of sons of Levi, according to the generation, Gershon, Kohath, Merari. And the years of the life of Levi were 137 years, 137 years for Levi in his life. The sons of Gershon, Libni and Shimei, according to their families. And the sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. And the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years. And the sons of Merari, Mahila, and Mushi, these are the families of Levi according to their generations. All right, now let's go on here. And Amram took unto him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And Amram then lived 137 years. So Amram is the father of Aaron and Moses and Miriam, for that matter. And Amram was one of the sons of Kohath. Kohath was the son of Levi. And so we have Levi, Kohath, Amram, Moses, and Aaron. So we have this genealogy here. And now, one other point we'll bring out here in verse 621, Exodus 621. The sons of Izhar, Korah, and Nepheg, and Zikri, and the sons of Uzel, Mishael, and Elzaphan, and Zithri. All right, so here we have these sons are brought out here. And so we have Kohath. So his tribe is going to get so many cities. And then breaking this down, Amram, or through Aaron, they're going to get so many cities. And then the other three sons of Kohath are going to get so many cities. So keep your finger there as we go back here to our Joshua 21. So in 21:4 says, a lot came out for the families of the Kohathites, and the children of Aaron, the priests, which were of the Levites, had by lot out of the tribe of Judah, and out of the tribe of Simeon, and out of the tribe of Benjamin, 13 cities. So here we have the Kohathites, and then the Amram, and then Aaron, grandson of Kohath. So in these three tribes, he gets 13 cities. And then notice in verse 5 it says, and the rest of the children of Kohath had by lot out of the families of these tribes 10 cities. So in other words, we have of the three sons of Levi, so Kohath, Gershon, and Merari, these sons, we get four groupings of numbers. Because the Kohathites got 13 tribes, 13 cities, and then the remainder of the Kohathites had 10, so that's 23. And then the other two sons got 13 and 12, that's 25. So 25 and 23 makes 48. So in other words, through Kohath, all right, so back up. So Levi had three sons. And out of these three sons, we have 48 cities are divided. But the Kohathites got 23. And the two other sons got 13 and 12 respectively. Follow that? All adding up to 48. So why through Kohath? Why Kohath got 23 over and against the two other sons? Well, because Aaron came through that tribe, you see. And so the Lord blessed the Levites, Kohathites, and now Aaron. And so the Levites came that way. And so the Lord gave more cities to the Kohathites than he did to the other two sons of Levi. Follow that? Why? Because of Aaron's role here. So Aaron became the willing, I guess, spokesman, you might say, for Moses. Remember, Moses struggled with not being eloquent and so on. So the Lord said, all right, I'll give you Aaron. So Aaron then became, and so Aaron had a prestigious position here, and he utilized this in his stewardship. So the Lord blessed not only Moses, but also Aaron, and so Aaron and his descendants. So they're, just try to keep all this straight, so we have Levi, all right, and then he has these sons here, Kohath. And Gershon, and Merari. Let's see, Merari. All right, so he's got these three sons. So we've got actually 23 over here. I guess 13 here and 12 here. All these add up to 48 cities. But it's through Levi, Kohath, Amram and his son Aaron. Of course, Moses and Miriam's in there as well. So anyway, the Lord blessed the Kohathites with 23 of the 48 cities. So this is his This is a privilege. Now, keep in mind here that the Lord could have chosen any. So in his predetermination, he makes choices. Second-born is going to be favored over firstborn, positionally. Keep that in mind, positionally. So when the Lord favors somebody over somebody else positionally, this doesn't affect necessarily their personal responsibility to be right with the Lord. You follow that? So we saw that in Romans 9, 10, and 11, and likewise here as well. And so when he makes predeterminations, he has to decide somebody. Somebody's going to be a leader and somebody's not going to be a leader. All right, so he's going to predetermine that. But whoever he decides or doesn't decide, both have equal responsibility in their predetermined choice to do right before the Lord. You follow that? So nobody's left out. So we don't want to bring over salvation here when we're talking about position. It's very, very important. We don't want to bring about salvation because everybody, the Lord wants to save everybody regardless of their position. The Lord created Adam before he created Eve. All right, and so he's decided leadership goes through man and not through woman. That doesn't mean women can't be saved. Doesn't mean they're any inferior, in any sense inferior to man. It's just position. That's the position. And so likewise here. So anyway, Exodus chapter 6, I think, verses 16 and following, help give a foundation to the passage, to this passage, chapter 22. So here in, chapter 21. So chapter 21, we see on the Aaron side in verse 4, 13 cities. Then the rest of the Kohathites gain 10 cities. Then we see in verse 6, Gershon. It says, children of Gershon had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Issachar, and out of the tribe of Asher, and out of the tribe of Naphtali, and out of the half tribe of Manasseh, and Bashan, 13 cities. So here we have, out of these tribes, they had to give over 13 cities. And the children of Merari, by their families, had out of the tribe of Reuben, out of the tribe of Gad, and out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. So we've got, 13, 10, 13 and 12. And you look at your calculator and it adds up 48. All right? Adds up 48 cities. And so they came out of the tribes. So here we have a perspective on all this. And verse 8, and the children of Israel gave by lot unto the Levites these cities with their suburbs, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So here, by the hand of Moses, this suggests that Moses wrote this down. Moses wrote this down. I mean, Moses wrote the Torah. So he wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. By his hand, he wrote it down, these commandments. Joshua had a written copy or had the commandments of Moses written down. And he followed them. He followed them. All right, then the rest of the chapter gives detail on this. And so what we have here is a general summary in the early part of the chapter, and then we have a detailed statement in the rest of the chapter. It takes us through this, and we run into a lot of detail here. Let's look first, for instance, in a lengthy section here with regard to Aaron and 9 through 19, basically. Here it says, and they gave out of the tribe of children of Judah, out of the tribe of children of Simeon, these cities which were mentioned by name. By the way, the tribe of Simeon, which only had cities, had to give up some of the cities they had. And verse 10, which of the children of Aaron, being of the families of the Kohathites, who were of the children of Levi, had, for theirs was the first lot. So here we get, see, honor is given to Aaron. Honor is given to Aaron. So We don't quite often think of Aaron as he ministered along with Moses as being a man of honor, but he was. Now, he had problems as well, but he was obedient to the Lord. If you look back there in Exodus, once again, chapter 3 and 3 and 4, primarily Exodus chapter 4, here the Lord speaks to Moses out of the burning bush, and Moses says in 4:10, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hither for nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And so Moses saying, I can't speak, I stumble around my words, and so on and so forth. And the Lord said, Who hath made man's mouth? So, yeah, I know that. Who made your mouth? Yeah, I'm going to use you anyway. Whatever limitations you might have or think you have, I'm going to use you. And he says, verse 12, I will be with thy mouth. And he still rejects this. He says in verse 13, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron thy the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. But Aaron was submissive at this point. Aaron didn't reject the Lord and say, Well, I can't speak either. It's all in the family, you understand? I can't. No, Aaron submitted. So here we find, so the Lord blessed Aaron to that extent. So anyway, we see some of the background in all of this. And verse 13, so we're back here in Joshua 21:13. Thus they gave to children of Aaron, the priest Hebron, and some of these other cities. And this takes us through verse 19. And all the cities of the children of Aaron, the priests, were 13 cities with their suburbs. All right, so that kind of summarizes this section for Aaron. But Aaron's of the Kohathites got 13. The rest of the Kohathites got a total of the remainder there. So, or 10, rather. They got 10. Then the other two brothers got 13, 12. All right, so anyway, we see how the Lord was working here and his righteousness. His righteousness within a predetermination and expectation for people to obey his word. So there are big themes here. Big themes here. Our Father, we pray that you bless our time now. We thank you for giving us the book of Joshua. Help us to learn these lessons, apply them, and use them, and be knowledgeable and develop the mind of Christ, we ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.